I felt terrible leaving like that, Chase began, but I knew you would never understand. After her ninth glass of Chardonnay, Rebecca was beginning to feel a little foggy-headed, as if her head had filled with fog. She focused on those piercing blue eyes intently and listened. I never intended to stay as long as I did. I knew I was putting you in danger. But every time I convinced myself to leave, you do that thing with the slinky and the raincoat, and I just couldn't go. What did you call that? The three-eyed turtle, Rebecca said with a hint of a smile. Go on. How was I in danger? Look, it's late, Chase pleaded. Why don't we go upstairs, get a good night's sleep, and pick this up tomorrow? I'll tell you everything over breakfast. Rebecca eyed him warily. Chase, don't get me wrong. I'd love to go upstairs with you. I'd lick you up one side and down the other and then apologize for not having a towel to dry you off. But I can't let this happen to me again. I have to know why you left. Chase sighed the kind of sigh you sigh after you've taken a deep breath and you let it all out at once. Okay, Rebecca, you asked for it. He started at the beginning of his privileged life. Rebecca already knew the whole story, but listened tolerantly, like you do when you're talking to your senile grandma, and she tells you a long story about some old guy who died that you didn't even know. He described his upbringing, and it played like a fairy tale. A huge home, a stuffed shirted oil man of a father who had gotten wildly rich, a stay-at-home mother who was once a topless dancer but quit the business and now performed only for friends. Private schooling, his own horses, star of the school's polo and rugby teams, a brilliant student, a superb athlete, a popular schoolmate. Rebecca's head slammed on the table with a loud bang. She was out like Ellen DeGeneres. I knew it would work, Chase thought triumphantly. Nobody could sit through that and stay awake. He picked up her lifeless body and slung her over his shoulder like an equipment bag with breasts. He lugged her up to the check-in desk and said confidently, "The little woman and I need a room for the night." "Name?" the desk clerk asked. Chase glanced down at Rebecca's firm bottom sticking straight up in the air. "The Buttocks," he said. "Bill and Beverly Buttock. From Boise," he added, just for style. "Room 311, sir," she said, pretending not to be alarmed by the man holding the dead girl. "Anything else?" she asked. "Yes," Chase said. "Is your gift shop open? I need to get a slinky."